Shalom to all. Today's office is Basadav Kuf Yud Beis, and we are starting about the second line with the words Maiva Omer. And today's office sponsor Lilu Nishmas Mars Miriam Sarah Basav Yaakov Moshe. Her neshama should have an aliyah. Now we're right in the middle of discussing the source that a husband inherits his wife, and Rabbi Shmuel had quoted a number of psukim all teaching the same thing, that a husband is able to inherit his wife. Now it's important to note that the way we learn this from some of the psukim is that they're telling us that a woman should not marry out of her father's shevet because she might die. Her husband is going to inherit her, and now the property she brought into the marriage, which came from her father's shevet, will now be transferred to her husband's shevet. But either which way, we have five psukim all teaching us the same thing, that a husband inherits his wife. So the question is, my va'aymer, why do we need va'aymer? Why does Rabbi Shmuel need to keep on bringing more psukim? And the answer is because v'chi tema, if you might say, based off of the first pasuk, b'sibas haben ka kapid kra, that the pasuk is makbed with the transference of the nachla to the son, meaning from a mother to a son, of a balo yaris, but a husband actually does not yarshin his wife, tashma, that's why we have another pasuk that says, v'loy sisayv nachla b'nei Yisrael matal mate, and that pasuk is telling us that a husband inherits his wife. And v'chi tema, if you want to say, lav ra'al v'lav asay, it's still maybe this pasuk that we just quoted is referring to the son, as just telling us that there's a lav and an asay, namely that a woman has both a lav and an isra asay to marry out of her shevet so that her nachla doesn't get transferred to her son. And once again, it's not talking about a husband. So tashma, that's why we have another pasuk that says, lo yisisav nachla mimata lamata acher, and that's for sure referring to a husband. And v'chitim, if you want to say, lav ra'al b'shnei lav v'asay, that no, maybe this other pasuk we just quoted is adding on another lav. So there's a total of two lavin and an asay for a woman to marry out of her shevet, and still nothing to do with a husband. So tashma, that's why we have another pasuk that tells us, v'elazman aron meis v'gaimer, and that was telling us that Elazar died and he got buried in the giva of Pinchas, his son. And we're assuming that the only way his son Pinchas could have a giva that didn't belong to him, it must be that Pinchas had married a wife from a different shevet. She had died and he had inherited her. So we see that a husband inherits his wife. And Chidim, if you want to suggest, that's actually not to understand the pasuk. And this is how we should understand it. Elazar who didn't have itza. Elazar had married a woman from a different shevet. Umeisa, and she died. Viyirta Pinchas, and Pinchas, her son, inherited her. And that's how we had this giva that didn't belong to his father. Tashma, that's why we have yet another pasuk that tells us, Uzguv Hilad is Yar v'Gaimer, and Skuv gave birth to Yar, and Yar had 23 cities, and we had understood that the only way that Yar had these cities that Skuv did not have is because Yar married a woman from a different shevet, she died, and he inherited her. And Uchitim, we want to suggest that Hacham Nami Hachihu, then in that case, it was the same exact thing, that Skuv had married a woman from a different shevet, she died, and Yar inherited her. And once again, we don't have a raya that a husband inherits his wife. And the answer to why that can't be is because Imkain, if so, Trey Kari Lomeli, what do we need two psukim for? Why have two psukim, one about Pinchas and Elazar, and the other about Skuv and Yar, that tells the same exact thing? It must be that at least from one of them, we're learning that a husband inherits his wife. Normally, if Papa Labai or Papa Asabai, Mimai, who says it's proper understanding, Dumal Adam Emelacha, maybe really I'll tell you, Baal La Yaris, that a husband does not Yarshin his wife. Ukrai Basibis Haben, and the Pasuk is telling us about the transference of a Nachla to a son. Again, we're saying that a woman should not marry out of her Shevet because she's going to die and her Yerusha is going to go to her son, causing a transference from her Shevet to her son's Shevet. Kiddushanina, like we had learned originally. What about these stories of Yar and Pinchas? Well, the Yar dissolved in Mizben, Pinchas Nami dissolved in Mizben. It could be that both Yar and Pinchas had bought these properties, and that's why they owned them and they didn't belong to their fathers, because the son bought it and the father just didn't buy it. Amalei, so he told him, Pinchas dissolved in Mizben, you can't say that Pinchas had bought it. Why is that? If so, it would turn out that this field would go back at Yovel. We've already had this before in the Masechta. When a person buys a Nachla, an ancestral field, that goes back to the owner by Yovel, and the Nimsa Tzadik cover, it's going to turn out that it's Tzadik, Pinchas' father, Elazar, is going to be buried in a cover that's not his. It's not going to be the family's property anymore. So it can't be that Pinchas had bought this property, and so it makes sense that he got it from his mother. The Gemara says, no, Ela'im, or rather, we could still say, that it came from a Stei Charamim, a field of Cherem, which is when a person is Makdash a field, by Yovel, it goes to the Kehanim. So it could be that's why Pinchas had this field. This was after Yovel. He got one of these fields that someone was Makdash, and that's why he had the field, and it wasn't his father's, and there's no riot that he got it from his mother. At this point in the Gemara, we're going back to something we had learned before. On the previous daf, we learned about this woman whose father and mother were from different Shvatim. She inherited them, and now she's only allowed to marry into her father's Shevet in order to prevent the property from being transferred to different Shevet, namely her husband's. So now that Amar Abai Abai asked, so if at the end of the day, Hakam Asakar Nachla, the Nachla is still being uprooted, it's still being moved to a different Shevet, me shifted the email, shifted the Abba from the Shevet of her mother to the Shevet of her father. In other words, what are you gaining by saying that a woman who inherits her father and mother has to marry into her father's Shevet because we don't want the Nachla she got from her father to go to a different Shevet? But what about the Nachla of her mother? The Nachla of her mother is going to a different Shevet. And marrying to the same Shevet that her father is not going to prevent a transference of her mother's Nachla. The Gemara asked me, Mai, how do you know this is a problem? Maybe that case is different because it's already been transferred. When her mother married her father, so already then there was a transference of her mother's Nachla to her father. And therefore, as long as her, the daughter, marries a man from the same Shevet as her father, wouldn't have any issues with her mother's Nachla because again, Shekvar Huspa was already transferred to different Shevet. So Amalei Abai said to him, Shekvar Huspa Le'amrinon, we don't say this whole thing of Shekvar Huspa. And therefore, we still have this issue of mine, says Abai, then how are we preventing the transference of a Nachla from one Shevet to another by this woman marrying someone from her father's shevet, if her mother's nachal is going to end up being transferred. So Amar Rav Yehuda Ravashi, Rav Yehuda told Rav Ashi, Yamar Bishlam Shekvar Huspa, if you want to say this concept of Shekvar Huspa, that it's already been transferred, so there's no problem, and again, Abai doesn't want to say that, that's why the Pasuk tells us we have this issue of transferring to the son and transferring to the husband. In other words, as we know, we have Pesukim to talk about the transference of her nachla to her husband or to her son, and it makes sense that by marrying someone from her father's shevet solves both of these issues, and that's if we say Shekvar Huspa, that we have no issue regarding her mother's nachla, because again, her mother's nachla was already transferred when she married her father. But if we don't say this concept of Shekvar Huspa, when she marries someone from her father's shevet, my hava, who cares? Why does that help us? That creates this transference of the nachla from her mother's shevet to her father's shevet. So it makes sense to say this concept of Shekvar Huspa, leaving us with a question on Abaye. So Gemara suggests an answer for Abaye. Perhaps the Torah is telling us that this woman has to marry a man whose father is from her father's shevet and whose mother is from her mother's shevet. And then there's no issue of transference of a nachla from her mother's shevet, because the same way that this woman's mother came from one shevet, well, this woman's husband's mother is from that very same shevet, and that means the nachla is sticking with the same shevet. However, the Gemara Kofi Rebezim Beis on top says, if that's really so, if this woman was required to marry a man whose father was from the same shevet as her father and whose mother was from the same shevet as her mother, well then, the pasuk should tell us that very clearly, that she has to marry someone from the mate of her father and her mother. And the pasuk doesn't say that. The Gemara says, no, if the pasuk would have said that, if it would have told us clearly that she has to marry someone mate avia ve'ima, havamina, I would think afil ipcha, even if it was the opposite, meaning that she'd be allowed to marry a man whose father was from the same shevet as her mother and whose mother was from the same shevet as her father, because technically the nachla would be staying in the same shevet, kamash malan. That's why the pasuk tells us that no, she has to be makabe about marrying a man who's from the same shevet as her father, and therefore we're not able to learn anything from these psukim in regards to her mother's nachla being transferred to a different shevet. And we continue discussing this. Tanya b'sibas haben v'tanya b'sibas habal. We have a brass to talk about both the son and the husband, namely that a woman has to make sure to marry someone from the same shevet as her father, because her son or her husband might inherit her and would want the nachla to be transferred to a different shevet. Tanya b'sibas haben. We have a brass talks about the transference through the son. What does the pasuk tell us? V'loy siso im nachla b'nei Yisrael imata al mata, and nachla b'nei Yisrael should not be transferred from one mata to another. Now it's important to note that this is pasuk Zion. The brass just continues. You're saying this pasuk is referring to transference through the son. Maybe it's referring to transference through the husband. So remember, when we have another pasuk, which is pasuk Tess, that tells us we already have this pasuk Tess, which is talking about transference through the husband. So therefore, how do I understand this first pasuk Zayin? It must be the pasuk's talking about sibas haben, a nachla being transferred through the son. We have another brayse that talks about the same thing. The pasuk says, and this is pasuk Tess. This pasuk is talking about the nachla being transferred through the husband. Now, you say this is talking about the husband. Maybe it's talking about the son. And Kshu Aymer, when it says another pasuk, which is pasuk Zayin, that's talking about transference through the son. Therefore, I understand this pasuk Tess. It must be the pasuk is talking about b'sibas habal. We further analyze this. Everyone seems to agree that this pasuk mimata l'mata acher is talking about the nachla being transferred through the husband, and again, this is pasuk Tess. Now the Gemara asks, my mashma, how is it inferred from there that this is talking about the husband and not the son? Now this next word, Simon, is actually machlek as whether it belongs here. According to some, this is actually the name of an amira whose name was Simon, and he was quoting Rabbi Rav Shila, who's the next name mentioned in the Gemara. According to others, we're actually missing some words, and this word Simon is supposed to be followed by other words, which are Simon for the following Gemara, but we're missing those words. Either which way, we're going to go to the next words, Amar Rabbi Rav Shila. Rabbi Rav Shila answers, Amar Kras, because the pasuk says ish. And since pasuk Tess mentions the word ish, it must be that it's referring to the husband. As the Gemara, Tarvayu ish ksiv behu. Both of these psukim, Zion and Tess, say the word ish. El Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, rather Rav Nachman Yitzchak answers differently. Amar Kras, the pasuk says yidbeku. And yidbeku is the lashon of cleaving or clinging, being close. When it talks about a man getting married, it says vidavak beishtai. So since pasuk Tess mentions the word yidbeku, it must be it's talking about a man. As the Gemara, Tarvayu yidbeku ksiv behu. Both of these psukim, Zion and Tess, mention this word yidbeku. So El Amar Rav, rather Rav gives a different answer. Amar Kras, pasuk Zion tells us yidbeku matois, and the way that two matois, two shvatim, are misdabik to each other is by way of marriage. So it must be the pasuk Tess is referring to the husband, and not pasuk Zayin. Now Rav Ashi gives a different answer on Makras, because the pasuk says mimate limata acher, and uben lav acher hu. A ben is not considered an acher. A husband is considered an acher. He's coming from a different shevet, and therefore this pasuk is talking about husband and not son. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow. Continue to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.